This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I am John.
And this week we are talking about Transformers 1.
We have achieved peak, Tom. We have achieved
peak.
Oh my god. This was electrifying to watch at the cinema. Afterwards, me and Tom, we were just over the moon, overjoyed and amazed. I'm a huge fan of Transformers. I grew up watching the Transformers shows on Cartoon Network. I had the toys. I love the movies, but the movies are quite insane. I mean, with Michael Bay. And it's also funny, if you look in the opening of the movie, the production company is called Bayhem.
Yes. I think.
And it was like, oh my god, it's Michael Bay. But there weren't any words to describe how I felt when I watched this movie. I had to process a lot of things in a great way, excellent way. And I was just like, oh my god, this just really reminds me of all the things that came to me when I grew up watching Transformers.
Yeah, we were on our way home and already talking about, are there any Transformers toys out there? Like, what's the best one that we can buy? You know, we're adults now. We can buy some premium Transformers. It's really exciting because it wasn't that long ago, only a year ago, that we talked about Rise of the Beasts, which is a fun movie, but it's not very good. And we did do a video on that, so if you want to check that out. And very similar to you, John, I have been a fan of Transformers all my life, films and cartoons. And one of the big things about this film was that it's been out for a few weeks in America, and we have heard so many tales of Transformers 1 and just how brilliant everyone thinks it is. Obviously, the legend themselves, the one Twitter account, TF Hype Guy, has done so much for this film, and I've seen this trailer at the cinema so many times, and every time I was just like, ugh, can it really be that good? Because the trailer focused on all the parts of the movie that were my least favorite parts. The comedy, for instance, it's not really my style of comedy, but what the actual film delivers is so much greater than what any of the marketing told me. And so to have this one guy on Twitter basically holding it on their back, it was just incredible. Big props to TF Hype Guy. Just well done.
Well done to you, man. Like, what I've heard from the reviews of the movie was so interesting. Like, IGN gave it a 5 out of 10, which is insane, because everybody was like, oh no. And then it started to roll out when people were saying, oh my god, it's actually peak. I got really excited for it. I was like, oh my god, Transformers. Some are good, some are bad. The Last Night, you know.
That's the one that I haven't seen. One day,
that's the
maybe
one you haven't seen.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, dude, we should watch that and try to. I'll be like your therapist. They'll be like, here we go. Here's Anthony Hopkins. Don't know what he's doing. Just looking around, and then he gets
in
killed
Stonehenge
by one of the bad guys.
God,
anyway, so TF1, you're a legend. You made me really excited. And then I couldn't believe why I watched.
Yeah, I think that this is a franchise that kind of belongs in animation. And I do love what the films have done visually. Obviously, Michael Bay is an incredible visual filmmaker. It's some of the best CGI you will see just across the board. But you see this in animation, you just kind of go, we're home. This is immaculate. It's an interesting one because if this was live action, I mean, how would you do that? I don't even know. It would be like the live action Lion King, right? It would just be entirely CGI, just done in a different style. I didn't think that the cinematography blew me away that much, but the animation was so astoundingly good. Oh my god, I cannot even begin to comprehend. Obviously, we spend the whole time on Cybertron, which is something that every Transformers fan has wanted to see on the big screen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the opening scene of Bumblebee was great because it was all on Cybertron. We get to see the lower levels and the surface of Cybertron, and it all looks beautiful. I was just astounded by all the textures and all the colors and even the designs of all the Transformers as well. We get to kind of see Transformers that we know and love, Optimus Prime and Megatron, as Orion Pax and D16. And so we kind of see them as prototype versions of the characters that we know and love, I guess. And even throughout the film, they kind of upgrade and we get a little bit more of the iconography. And it's really cool to see how they kind of go from a matte finish to a shiny finish. Oh, it's just so cool, man.
It's so cool how they've become from working in the mines and then have the cores and then become who they are. Like, Pax becomes Optimus Prime, which was such a cool moment. We'll get into that. And I just love the animation as well. There was just like some playful but imaginative feel to it. And when the film went to the darker side to it, it really kept it feel real in some sense. Because how do you balance the upbeat but also darker tones of Transformers? I mean, you kind of see that in Michael Bay's films as well. There is that playfulness, but then it's like chaotic.
It's Bayhem. It's a Transformer Bayhem, yeah. Pissing on John Turturro.
Oh my God.
Unless, because why not?
We'll get into those in the future. Maybe if you want to talk about Transformers
John,
more.
Don't make that promise. Don't make that. I can't do it. I can't do all the things.
Your schedule. Oh my God, the schedule. It's going to collapse. Yeah, I was really impressed how they balanced that. The dynamic between D16 and Ryan Pax made this film so unforgettable. I love the chemistry between the voice acting, like it made it feel like the best as friends. And then the downfall of D16 was one of the highlights of the film. They really thought about the emotions with it, because in Transformers, they haven't really figured out the emotions that well. Bumblebee pissing on that guy in that movie. You know, it's just like, how do you balance that with those guys becoming from friends to enemies? It's a timeless thing.
Yeah, it's X-Men First Class. It's Wicked. It's a bunch of, you know,
so timeless,
brilliant
man.
Stories about enemies. Wait, no, it's definitely not. I was going to say enemies to lovers. It's definitely not the enemies to lovers.
Enemies to lovers. Oh.
It's almost like lovers to enemies. And what I love about this film is that you can see where those things come from throughout. You can see just enough differences between Orion Pax and D16. You see that D16 is constantly annoyed that Orion is getting him into trouble and that he's having to cover for him. And, you know, Orion is super headstrong and makes all these rash decisions, but D16 wants to stay by the book, and he has this great respect for Sentinel Prime. Really, really fascinating stuff to see all of those seeds very, very early on that will then become, again, it's very Professor X and Magneto, it's very Elphaba and Galinda, but you wouldn't think that it would work so well in this setting. It's not the classic lore in many ways, but it really works. And who cares that it's not the lore, because it's a really powerful emotional story. And obviously it takes numerous elements from the lore. It's not like it's doing its own thing, but you're right, the Transformers films, they're always like, oh, how do we make it emotional? Let's put a human character in there. But you don't need that, really.
Shia LaBeouf, with his crazy name. What was the name?
Sam Witwicky. Dude, you do you remember Sam Witwicky?
Sam
and
Witwicky.
Of course Mark Wahlberg as, what was Mark Wahlberg's name?
Cade. It's Cade.
Cade Yeager. Oh my God. Cade Yeager. He's an inventor.
What are these names? Okay. Yo. So there were some really badass ones. I mean, the Transformers, not the human characters. There weren't any badass characters.
I was thinking to myself, what are you on about?
Oh, which badass human? Which one? Anthony Hopkins? You know
Yes. Remember John Malkovich was in Dark of the Moon? Is that one like shot where it goes like all across the office and it's just John Malkovich sitting there and he just goes, no. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Oh my God. Yeah,
maybe we should watch those films. Hold on. Let's do Out of Time podcast film commentaries and we'll just slowly go.
That would be excellent. That would be fun.
That would be good.
A live stream.
But the thing about this film, when it was announced way back when, was, are we really casting Chris Hemsworth as Optimus Prime? Is this really what we're doing? We're making an origin movie for Transformers and we're doing Chris Hemsworth. I was not on board with that idea at all. It feels like celebrity stunt castings. Well, why not get another voice actor? But I gotta hold my hands up, he was perfect. I think him and Brian Tyree Henry as D16 were phenomenal, especially Brian Tyree Henry. But like, both of them, they're so jovial and banterous at the beginning, and then as we go on, they become, even their voices, they become the characters that we know. And Chris Hemsworth kind of starts to talk like this, and he is up, oh Autobots, we will find the AllSpark, that's very Transformers 1 of me, not this Transformers 1, Transformers 1 from like 2005. I don't know how this audio will come up. I am Optimus Prime. I went on one.
Optimus Prime. I can't do it.
He was brilliant. Anyway, I'll tell you who can do the voice. Brown Table. He did a video on
Brown Table. Hell yeah.
Yeah, on Transformers 1. The guy can do an incredible Optimus Prime impression.
Hemsworth starts the movie like, hey guys, how's it going? And then ends the movie like,
we have to band together. If not, we will not survive.
You know, or some shit like that.
Hell
wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
hell
I already knew he was an incredibly skilled voiceover artist.
I wonder if
wow.
I can do good.
Yoda, I am.
Yoda, we need your help. The Autobots have come to the Jedi.
Oh, dear.
I agree with you as well. Like, I wasn't on board with Chris Hemsworth to be Optimus Prime. There's no way you can do, like, Peter Cullen, because his voice is just legendary. Like, that ending of Transformers 1 is always at the back of my mind. Like,
wait, sorry, can I just check? Are you talking about Transformers 1 or Transformers 1?
This is, like, Dune or Dune over again.
Is it Dune? Is it Michael Bay's Transformers 1?
Michael Bay's Transformers 1. Why did it sound like with Zack Snyder's Justice League? And
Francis Ford Coppola's Transformers 1, A Fable. That's the name of the movie.
That would be an interesting mix. It's just like a Roman epic. It kind of works, though. Like,
it kind of is around. A Roman. I was just thinking, it kind of is.
Like Cybertron and then Megatron and then Optimus Prime trying
it's
to...
It's kind of like, yeah, like there's class oppression as well. Huh.
Hold up, I need to cook right here. I need to go and
figure it out here.
What if Francis Ford Coppola was trying to get inspiration for Transformers 1, but he couldn't make it in time, so he had to make like all of them?
Francis Ford Coppola, he's going to make another movie. Like, he has plans to make another one.
Yeah.
What if he's making Transformers 2? Yes. Oh man. Oh dear. We're so sidetracked.
We're so sidetracked.
I think like the way that Brian Tyree Henry, D16, you can feel the anger that he feels as the film progresses. And there's a moment where he spoilers now. We're into spoilers. Great film. Go and watch it. Please, it deserves your attention. Especially if you're a Transformers man.
Oh, you get a free mask as well if you go to the cinema.
Yeah, you go to Cineworld, you get a free mask. Here it is.
Free mask.
You can't see me, but I'm holding it up. Wow.
Yes. And we took a selfie outside. We took a selfie outside wearing those masks and then we're just giddy and like
you know how like some people what they want from franchises like this is they want to go in and they want to feel like they did when they were a kid, right? That's why a lot of people criticize so heavily new installments, because they feel like it makes them feel the opposite of when they were a kid. That's all well and good. This film, I spent the final, since we're in spoilers now, I might as well
You're locked in.
I literally spent the final 5 minutes thinking, this is cinema, and I swear to God, he needs to say, I am Optimus Prime, because that's how, you know, the original Michael Bay's Transformers, which I used to love as a kid, ended, you know, like, you know, I am Optimus Prime, this is a message to all Autobots, that kind of thing, right? And the final line of the film, as Optimus Prime runs to the camera in slow motion, with the armor, the full thing, and he says, I'm Optimus Prime. Holy shit. I mean, I don't even know. Like, John was next to me. I kicked my legs. I squealed. I felt like a kid again.
It was almost so happy when I got hyped about Sonic 2 at the ending.
Yes.
When it was revealed that there's Shadow the Hedgehog. So, dude, that ending was so peak, and this is my favorite moment in the movie. So Orion, or Optimus, sacrifices himself to save Sentinel. Well, he tries to, but he failed to. He tries to stop Megatron, become a totally different person, and Megatron had enough of Optimus, and then he drops Optimus into the abyss, into the center of Cybertron. And by the way, the score, my god, this bit, my brain was altered forever when I watched this scene. I was just like, this is incredible. Like,
Brian Tyler. The whole time I was thinking, this score is pretty good. And then by the end, credits says music composer Brian Tyler. I was like, of course. I mean, what a brilliant score.
I loved it. And the way it just crescendoed into the rise of Optimus at the end of that sequence, it just felt like that Avatar, The Last Airbender scene where Aang sees his ancestors.
Yes.
In that line. That's how I felt. I was like, oh my god, this is like my third eye awakening. And
my entire life has led up to this moment.
Yeah. You get to see the rise of Optimus, but also the downfall of Megatron. Oof. And that parallel.
Cinematic parallels.
It's cinema.
Oh my god.
I felt so hyped when he got the axe as well with Optimus with his classic axe. Oh, dude. I was like,
what the hell?
This is like peak character development we got here.
I feel pretty confident in saying that this is one of the best endings to a blockbuster film I have ever seen. It joins that elite club of like final scenes that make me want to scream. And, you know, I've said this before, but in the UK, people don't really cheer in the cinema, but there are just those moments where I just can't keep it in. It's your Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man Chest. It's your Across the Spider-Verse. It's your Avengers Infinity War, Dune Part 1 or Dune Part 2, or maybe my favorite of them all, Back to the Future Part 2. The final scene that just makes you go, what? And you're just like, you know, you can't wait for the next one. The sheer excitement in those final 15 minutes as we see those parallels between Optimus and Megatron and these two people who we've seen as friends finally duke it out. It was just spectacular. And it really brings the film together. I think the film, up until that point, it'd gone from being fine to pretty solid, but it really needed to bring it all together at the end. And I think it absolutely did. I was so, so thrilled by the entire thing. The way that the whole final action set piece is done is great. The action in this film was awesome. A lot of the live action films get criticized for being
explosions.
Yes, it's a bit mindless, right? And all the Decepticons are gray. You don't know who anyone is. But in this one, there are some really fun set pieces. There's the race at the beginning, and there's also when they first have their transforming abilities and they don't really know how to use them, and so they're just kind of like half transforming as they go. And then there's the scene where the train is crashing down into Cybertron, into like the massive tower, which kind of results in the final action scene, and then obviously the one between Optimus and Megatron with the axe. So much of this was amazing. What's the director called? Is it Josh Cooley?
Yeah, Josh Cooley. He directed Inside Out, I think.
Shut up. No way.
I think he did. That is very good direction and the use of animation as well. And the design and the style of the bots.
Oh no. He did, so sublime. So he wrote Inside Out, the screenplay.
Right.
And
okay.
He directed Toy Story 4.
All right. Yeah,
which
yeah.
A lot of people have renounced, but I still hold up that Toy Story 4 is fantastic. So with this as well, I think that he has done a really, really good job. It would be a massive, massive shame to not get a sequel to this film. Transformers 2. It feels inevitable in the story because there's still so much to see, so much to go for. They build up these characters so well. And these specific iterations still have so much that we can explore through their drama and their dynamic. Like, they have become leaders, and that's brilliant. But, like, what happens now? How will the actual Autobots and Decepticons form? That, to me, is really interesting. And I hope that this film does well enough at the cinema to make that sequel happen.
Yeah.
And there's a trilogy as well, right? I think it's envisioned as a trilogy, which is really exciting.
2 and 3!
Yeah!
And one of the things that I want to see is the start of when Cybertron actually starts to dissolve. Well, not dissolve, but like when Cybertron gets attacked and it gets destroyed, and then all the Autobots and Decepticons have to flee Cybertron because of what they've done in the war. It was like against Autobots and Decepticons. That is so fascinating, but I really want to see that. I really want to see how that formed, like what was the catalyst for that in those years with Optimus, and how does he become a proper leader at the end. I love this film. I adore it so much. I gotta say, the comedy, it was good, but there was a lot of things from Bumblebee I was worried about, but it didn't really bother me. The comedy was a bit, like, one of my favorite was when Orion is like, I can transform. And you see the sequence of transformation, and he just runs away. He just runs away from the security guards. Like, yeah. I can transform. Yeah, excellent.
That's like the first joke in the film, and that actually might be my favorite one. The comedy wasn't for me, and that's all right. You know, I'm glad it was more for you, but for me, it just kind of didn't really hit. And
yeah,
I feel like Bumblebee, I would have liked it for him to have a bit more of a stake in the narrative. Yeah.
The relationship between Optimus and Bumblebee as well, like, how does it become stronger?
I think that's something that would be really great to include in the sequel. Keegan-Michael Key is a great actor and a really good voice actor as well, and I just think it's a bit of a nothing role, really. If anything, it's a bit annoying. And so I think I'd rather we get a little bit more substance from him as we move forward, much like with Optimus and Megatron, rather than him just being like, whoa, guys, I've got sword hands the whole time. And it's like, you know, the whole badassatron thing. Like, it's cute, but he didn't really do anything for me. Like, maybe if he had a bit more of an emotional side to his character, I would have felt more for him. But
yeah,
I didn't really think much of him. But on the other hand, there were some, I mean...
Oh, great moments, yeah.
I really loved John Hamm as Sentinel Prime. I mean, he was perfect. The way that he is this showman, but also this person who has actually basically enslaved all of the Transformers. And we also have Lawrence Fishburne as Alpha Trion. I loved him and his voice. Obviously, it's Lawrence Fishburne. We know he's got a great voice for anything. And great, so, you know, to use him for the voiceovers, but also as like this kind of wisdom figure, this mentor. We also have Scarlett Johansson as Alita, who doesn't get a lot to do. Her casting actually is kind of what I feared Chris Hemsworth would be. She felt like she was there just because she's a name. She didn't really do anything for me. But then you got Steve Buscemi as bloody Starscream. And that was just delightful. And so it really was hit or miss with the voices. But when it hit, like again, Brian Tyree Henry, my God, what a performance.
My God, he does excellent voice acting. He was Miles' dad, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
I love the message of the movie. There was that spark.
What
was the quote? No, yeah, it was the quote Alpha Trion said, and it was great.
I don't remember it.
You don't remember it?
Does he say, "You are Transformers 1"? Is that what he says?
Oh my God, you're Transformers 2.
What?
Well, no, there was a quote. It was a fantastic quote to like sum up about how Optimus becomes, well, Optimus Prime. I thought it was excellent. Whoever has the quote, please. But anyway, yes, this movie, please go see the movie. It is peak.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Man. Again, it feels like every time we do something animation, I'm just like, God, we're so lucky to have some brilliant, brilliant things in this medium. I hope that, yeah, anyone who isn't sure about this film, I really hope you do go and see it because everyone's already said it, but it is fantastic. So Transformers 1, what are you going to give it out of 10?
I'm feeling like an 8 or 9. There's some really fantastic things in this movie that I absolutely love. So I'm going to go with an 8 or 9.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 8. I think the ending, 10. 10 out of 10, baby.
10 out of 10.
As a whole package, 8. I think it was great. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe. If you want to see more, and if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you've been worthy. And John, next week, you thought it couldn't get any better than Transformers 1. That was a lie. We are doing Venom, The Last Dance. Yeah.
Venom.
Oh my God.
I wonder if Eminem's going to come back and do the soundtrack and be like, Venom 3, like Venom.
Oh my God. And you can send us an email at ourstimefilmpod@gmail.com. We're recording next Saturday, so let us know your thoughts on Venom, The Last Dance by then, and we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes. And you can follow us on Instagram at ourstimefilmpod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. You can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to Al James Mayer for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything. If you're still here, please watch.
I am Optimus Prime.
I'm Optimus Prime.
Autobots.
I can't do the voice.
Autobots. Roll out.
I can't do the voice either, but I'm just committing to it. This has been such an unhinged video. I can't wait for this to ride the tails of the Rings of Power video.
From Rings of Power to this, it'll be like, we're doing Transformers 1, I guess. Yeah. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Bye.
Goodbye.